Amen. I want to get your mind this morning. Over 2,000 years ago, a little scene. And in that scene, I want you to get this in your mind real fast about a group of men sitting in an upper room somewhere, and it's a candle lit in there. They didn't have electricity, and they got some candles lit. And in that upper room, Bubby, there's 12 disciples are gathered there, and Jesus is there, Brother Tyler, in the midst of those disciples. And Brother Goble, they got the candles burning, and there's the pan of water sitting there for what's about to come. And on the table, sitting on the table, in the midst of all those men sitting there, is bread. And then there's wine sitting there, and that symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus looks at all those 12 disciples sitting in that upper room, and he's preparing Brother Garrett to go down to the cross. And Jesus looks at them all, and he says, "Boys," and I'm putting it in hillbilly language where we can understand. He says, "Boys," he said, "one of you is going to betray me." Every one of them, Brother Jason, say, every one of them say this, the Bible says, "Is it I, Lord?"
Yeah.
Every one of them say, "Lord, is it I?" Peter looked at him and said, "Lord, is it I?" Listen, Thomas looked at him and said, "Lord, is it I?" John the Beloved looked at him and said, "Lord, is it I?" Go read it in John chapter 18. They all looked at him, brother, and said, "Lord, is it I?" All the way down, Brother Ken, it got down to Judas, and Judas said, "Master, is it I?" Well, we read things over so many times in the Scripture, and we're not careful, we'll miss something, but Judas never did, Brother Glenn, call him Lord. Judas said, "Master," which means teacher, which means a very respectable, very respectable thing that he said was "Master." But you go read and study sometime about Judas, and Judas, listen, was more educated. Judas was more cultured than any of the other disciples. He was more trusted than any of them. They let him keep up with the money. And listen, nobody ever thought that Judas would be the one, brother. But you read the Scriptures. Every time that the disciples is listed, Judas is always mentioned last. He's all the time lingering behind, back there in the last. And Judas never does call Jesus Lord. He always refers to him as Master. Well, Jesus takes the bread and he looks at the boys and he said, "Hey guys, he it is whom I dip and give a sop to. He it is the one that will betray me." And here's the last action that Jesus did with Judas was he took the bread and dipped it in that bone broth of that lamb, and he rested it to the lips of Judas's. And in that culture, listen to me, in that Jewish culture, when you was a stranger in a home, when the master of the house would rich you bread like that, dipped in broth, you know what was saying? It was saying to that man or that woman that you're reaching out to, that you're loved here and that you're accepted here, and I love you. Oh, Brother Garrett, did we miss that? He knew Judas was about ready to betray him. He had the very money in his pocket right then and there. And Jesus, in the midst of all that, he said, "Here, Judas, I still love you. You're accepted here, Judas." And you go read the Scriptures. And Jesus had warned Judas many times. Hey, listen to me. Judas went into this thing with his eyes wide open. Well, get this point. He had the supper there with his disciples. And he rose up there and he washed their feet. And after that, listen, he got up and he went down the Kidron Valley and he crossed up the hill of Mount Olives and headed with the 11 now to Gethsemane. He gets to the garden of Gethsemane. The houses back then in Jerusalem was built on one top of each other. They was all crammed in. And many times people would go out to the garden of Gethsemane because the flowers were there and the trees were there, and just to get away from it all. And listen, in Christ, I took the 11 now out to the garden of Gethsemane, and he takes 8 of them. And he says, boys, stay here by the gate. And he takes three more past the gate. And the Bible said he goes a little further. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus goes a little further? Hey, listen to me sometimes. You and I will go just so far. We're like the eight sometimes stuck at the gate. But the three went out with him a little further. But listen to Adam. Jesus went a little further than them three goble. They couldn't even complete the task there. He came to them and said, boys, you need to be watching and you need to be praying. And listen, they had no idea what was about to come upon them. You see, Judas had went out and got the Sanhedrin, and they had got about 400 of the temple guard, and here they're marching through the streets at night while Christ is praying in the garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible said that he sweat became as great drops of blood. Why? He was out there crying, out there agonizing and praying. You say, why, preacher? It was because he was afraid to die. Oh no, it had nothing to do with that whatsoever. He was about ready to take of the cup of sin, of the cup of suffering, of the cup of shame. All the sin from Adam to the last man was going to be poured upon Christ. And for the first time from eons past, he was going to be separated from the Father. So he's praying out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. Well, here comes the temple soldiers, Brother Adam. At no time did the disciples ever draw a sword. At no time were they ever threatening. At no time were they ever violent. But here they come out there with the Navy SEALs to get Jesus. And brother, they walk out there, and that old disciple or that old temple guard steps up. He said, Jesus said, who are you looking for? Brother, I know you see the pictures, and it's got Jesus painted with the halo around him and the pretty blonde hair. That ain't Jesus of the Bible. He was a Jew, and he looked just like the rest of them. So much so that Judas had to betray him with a kiss to identify him. Well, Jesus said, they said, who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Brother, the Lord looked at that crowd. He said, I am he. And when he said that, the Bible said that everyone in that crowd fell back, Glenn, on the ground. And you know what? He was there looking down at him. And brother, if he hadn't let them up, they'd still be laying there on the ground. So who's in control of this whole thing? Brother, he's in control. Well, they get up. Let me show you how hard-hearted. Let me show you how dark and wicked our hearts is. Well, if a man done that to me, Bubby, if he let me up, I'm gone, ain't you? I ain't never come around again. But their hearts are so black, their hearts are so wicked, that they go anyway and arrest the Son of God. And there's old Peter, brother, that old fisherman. He ain't a swordsman. He ain't a soldier. He pulls his sword and he messes that up. He meant to cut that old boy's head off, but he missed and cut off his ear, Brother Tyler. And Jesus said, Peter, honey, what are you doing? Hey, listen to me. Picks up that old boy's ear named Malchus and puts it back up on his head. You know why? Because faith come by hearing now and hearing by the word of God. So there goes Jesus in the middle of the night with this Sanhedrin bunch. And they're going out there and doing illegal hearing there. The Sanhedrin was never supposed to meet at night. It was the Supreme Court like of the Jews. And they're going out there to have some old mock trial, some old scam trial. And they've already got liars paid to come in and lie against Jesus. Brother, they take him out there to Herod of the king. And you know what he does out there? He gets on his knees and they play a game with Jesus out there called Play the King. They did it all the time. These kings would have court jesters that would come in to make them laugh. They was no doubt in the middle of the night out there drunk. They got Jesus, the very Son of God, Bubby. And they've got these young people coming in. And they put a crown of thorns upon his head. and they ran around Jesus mocking him. They ran around Jesus mocking him and taking reeds at him and striking him and spitting on him. His face is already swelled up. His face is already bruised. For the scripture says they struck him with the palm of their hands. So there he is. And Herod's trying to get Jesus to talk to him. But you know what I find in the scriptures? Jesus never responds. Jesus never talks to Herod one thing. Herod had all that time to go see Jesus. Herod had all that time to go hear from Jesus. But he wasn't interested. And now he's semi-interested in hearing from Jesus. And Jesus ain't talking to him. It's a side message for another time. But you better come while he's talking to you. You better do business with God while he's doing business with you. You'll come down to a day that you want to cry out to God. He'll do you like you did Herod and won't talk to you. Boy, it's a sad place to be, brother, when I want to hear from Jesus. But Jesus don't want to talk to me. Amen. What do you say all that for? Well, I say all that to say this. John chapter 19, we deal with this man called Pilate. Pontius Pilate, the governor.
Yeah.
Jesus goes before Pontius Pilate, and before he ever gets to Pontius Pilate, Pontius Pilate's wife, boy, has a dream.
Yeah.
She says, now look here. Don't be dealing with this man called Jesus. I don't know what it is about him, but I'm getting disturbed about this man called Jesus. Pontius Pilate is in a place of great responsibility. Pontius Pilate's in a place that the Romans have put him in and put a whole lot upon him. And he'd already messed up a few times, by the way. It's not in the Bible, but it's recorded in history. When Pilate come in, he had on them shields, Garrett. He had Augustus Tiberius on them shields. Now, you know he's got 2 million Jews in Jerusalem. And one of their commandments says, thou shalt not bow down to any graven images. Pilate knows that, but he don't care. He's going to show them he's running the town. So he brings his shields in there. And riots break out in the streets in Jerusalem. And he has his soldiers go undercover and put swords on and kills Jews. This gets back to Caesar. Caesar sends down word to Pilate, said, hey, we want you to run a nice quiet place down there. Keep them Jews quiet. Then in another place, they had water problems there in Israel. They had water problem in Jerusalem. And Pilate said, we need to fix the water. So here's what we're going to do. He had them go down into the temple now and steal those Jews' money to fix the water problem. Well, that caused a lot of unrest. And it's getting up to Caesar. And Caesar's like, Pilate, you're going to have to straighten up, buddy. We're having a lot of problems. I'll tell you all that to tell you the mindset of Pontius Pilate, where he's at right here in the scriptures. So here these Jews come during the Passover time, and they got Jesus in front of him, and Pilate don't want to do a thing with Jesus. He just wants us to go away, and he comes down here to the scripture where they walked him through the streets, and they said, hey, he's the king of the Jews that Pilate had written, and they went back to him and said, hey, change what you wrote about Jesus. And Pilate said, what I've written, I have written. I don't want to do with this man anyway. I don't know how I got tied into this. But let me tell you something. Everybody in this room, everybody under the sound of my voice, you're going to be like Pilate. And there's some things in your life that you're going to have to deal with. No matter if you want to run from it, put it away. That got forced, that Pilate had to deal with. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, when they condemned a man, they would put, oftentimes, they'd put a sign on his neck. He'd have to go through the streets, gobble, and on Jesus' neck, or somebody would go in front of him, a Roman soldier, would go in front of him, and it would say, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. They'd let all the community know why we're crucifying this man. That's what they did right here. And if anybody had any evidence that they could help this man, here's what they'd do. They'd step forward in the crowd and they would come to that condemned man's aid and they would help that man. But Jesus had nobody come to his aid. And so those Jews got so offended when he put Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, and he put it in Hebrew, which is the religious language. He put it in Latin, which is the legal language. And he put it in Greek, which is the language of the world. So anybody passing by could read that at that time. And they didn't like that. But Pilate said, "What I have written, I ain't changing it. I have written." Now let me tell you something. One of these days in your life, and you're dealing with it right now, you may not even know about it, but you're going to have to deal with what was written about Jesus. You're not going to be able to wash your hands like Pilate did. He said, "I wash my hands of Jesus. I don't want nothing to do with that." But let me tell you something. No matter if you deny it, no matter what you say or where you run from, you and I will never get away from what was written about the lovely Lamb of God. Garrett touched on it this morning when he went down Emmaus Road. The Bible said when Jesus revealed himself to those two disciples, he started at Moses and went all the way through the scriptures. He said, low in the volume of the book. Hey, listen to me. He's Noah's Ark, brother. He's Gideon's speech. Hey, brother, he's that stone that David hurled. He's all through the scriptures. And you can't run from it. And you can't break it. And you're going to get down to the end of your life. And you're going to have to deal with what the Bible says about Jesus.
Amen.
You can't wash your hands of it.
That's right.
It's written, Goble. It's written. And Pilate said, "I'm done with that. What I've written, I've written. I'm done with that." You say, "Well, I don't need that. Well, I don't want that." Jesus said, "The words of mine, they'll either condemn you in that day, or they'll justify you in that day." Jesus said, "Every word that thou shalt speak shall be for you or for against you in that day." You can't wash your hands against the lovely Lamb of God. You can't wash your hands against the whole Word of God, brother. It don't matter if I'm saying it or somebody else is saying it. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. And Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." But he tried to wash his hands with who Jesus was. Brother, you're not going to wash your hands. You're not going to just turn away. You say, "I'll come at another time, or I'll deal with the Lord another time, or I don't need the Lord." Listen to me. You couldn't take one more step. He's got your very heartbeat in your hand. Your very next breath he has, brother. You can't wash your hands of Jesus. And Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." In other words, he's saying, "Garrett, you boys, get out of my face. I'm done with Jesus." And no doubt Tyler, he thought, "Well, that's the end of that. I'm done." But it ain't. Because guess what? He's back there sitting down. And no doubt, Jamie, he's unsettled about the events of the day. I mean, he's dealt with this mess all night long. And he said, "What I've written, I've written." But he's sitting there and all of a sudden he hears, "What is that?" Soldiers say, "Pilate, Lord, the Jews are at the door again." "What do they want now?" "Go see." He goes out there and see, and they said, "Pilate, we got a problem." "What's the problem?" "It's about Jesus." Now, wait a minute. They crucified about 300 people a day. This is old school to them. This is nothing new to them.
That's right.
"What is it about Jesus? Can I just be done with Jesus?" They said, "No. No, you see, Pilate, it's our church time, and it's Passover, and our law says in Deuteronomy and in Exodus that we can't have no dead bodies hanging during our church time because Jesus is messing up our church time, and we got to do something with Jesus here." So Pilate, he ain't dead yet. Pilate said, "He ain't dead yet. What are we going to do?" And they said, "Well, listen, Pilate, we need to break their legs. We need to break their legs so they'll just go ahead and die." So Pilate said, "Okay, if that'll get you out of my face and keep me from dealing with Jesus, go on out there and break their legs." Well, the Bible said they go out there and they break the one on the right and they break the one on the left. But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead because the scripture said that not one bone of his will be broken, which is a miracle in itself, that not one bone was broken. You know, in Exodus chapter chapter 12, when they served that Passover lamb, they roasted it out there. But the Bible said in Exodus 12, they was not supposed to break no bones within that lamb. And the Bible said in Psalm, I believe it is, in 34, that he was going to die on the cross, but not one bone would be broken. So while they're out there to break his bones, they cannot break the scripture. And Pilate couldn't wash his hands away from the death of Jesus Christ. There's something you'll never be able to wash your hands of in this life is the written word of God and the death of the Son of God. You say that's foolishness. Well, the Bible said the preaching of the cross to them that don't believe is foolishness, but to us who believe in his salvation, brother. Hey, listen to me. Christ hung on the cross, and so many sermons and so many churches put Jesus out there and said, hey, don't you feel sorry now for poor old Jesus? Don't you feel sorry for poor old Jesus? Listen to me. Jesus hung and died on the cross. Brother, he took your sin and my sin and the very wrath of Almighty God. If nobody was ever saved, brother, when Jesus died on the cross, God would have been satisfied. Why is that, brother? Because God's holy wrath was poured upon Christ on the cross, brother. And no matter what you do or where you go, you'll never be able to get away from what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen. Amen.
You ever thought about this logically speaking? God can do anything. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody say amen to that? You believe God can do everything?
Amen.
You believe in God, don't you? Well, sure you do. And you believe God can do anything, right? He can. If God is eternal and God can do anything and he don't answer to nobody, why did Christ have to die? Why didn't God just forgive everybody?
Right. Totally,
you ever thought about that? Why, John boy, why didn't God just look at Adam and Eve in the garden and say, Adam, I knew you was going to do that a million years ago. Adam, it's all right. You're weak. Flesh is weak. I forgive you, Adam. Let's just hit reboot. Let's do this again. Why didn't God do that? You ever thought about that? Why are we doing here anyway? If God could do anything, and he don't have to answer nobody, why didn't God just forgive Adam and Eve? Why did Christ have to die? You ever thought about these things? Huh? Well, sure you have. Why did Jesus Christ, God, became man? 100% God, 100% man. Amen. Can you explain that? No.
No,
it's unexplainable. But I believe it.
Amen.
How do you believe it? I don't know. He helps me to believe that.
Amen.
Amen. He's got to give you the faith to believe that.
Right.
We don't want to believe that. Right. Man, I don't believe a lie before you believe what God says. Watch this. God's holy.
And just.
There's no unjust in. There's no injustice in God. And if God were to look at Adam and Eve and say, you know, Adam and Eve, I know you weak, but I forgive you. Then the devil could have jumped up and said, God, you forgave them. How about me?
Yeah.
So God had to do something. And God said, I know what I'll do. Man sinned, man messed up, so man's got to reconcile man. But I can't reconcile nobody because I'm a sinful man. I come from Adam. So God says, I'll tell you what. I'll be born of a virgin. The very blood that run through Jesus' veins wasn't like my blood and your blood.
No.
He was 100% God and 100% man.
That's right.
Let me explain this to you this way. He was 100% man in that he got on a boat to go to the other side. You get that? But he was 100% God that he'd get on the water and walk on the water.
Yeah.
He was 100% man, Adam, that he said, you know what, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But he was 100% God, Brother Gary, that he said, hey, give me a little bit of lunch. I'm going to feed about 20,000 people.
Yeah.
Hey, man, listen to me. It's unexplainable.
Yeah.
So God says, I know what I'll do. Yeah. I'll become a man, and I'll reconcile man back to me, a sinless, perfect man, and I'll pour my wrath upon the man, which is Jesus Christ. The only mediator between God and man is the man Christ Jesus, amen. And so God poured his wrath. And God poured his justice upon Christ on the cross.
Amen.
You know why? So I can be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
His justice, his holiness was satisfied.
Yep.
And he made a way for old Kevin to be saved.
Amen.
Old sinful, wretched Kevin could be saved. And then old Kevin says, you know what? I don't believe that. I have a hard time believing that. God says, I know that. I know, Jamie, that you just wouldn't believe that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you under a preacher, and he's going to preach, and I'm going to get your attention, and I'm going to put the faith in your heart to believe that. And something supernatural is going to happen inside of you, and you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Can you understand that? No. Brother Glenn celebrated 41 years today as a Christian. He don't understand that. All he knows is something happened to him, and brother, he ain't been the same since then. And something happened to me. I ain't been the same since that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you'll never wash your hands of what's been written about Jesus.
That's right.
And you'll never wash your hands about the death of Jesus. But it ain't done yet. Pilate no doubt thought it's over with. But it ain't. He's sitting there again, Tyler. What? Pilate, it's those Jews again. What now? I don't know, Pilate. I can see him throwing his toga back. I can see him going down through there. I can see his face fixed. I can see him open the door and there's those Jews standing there and say, Pilate, Joseph of Arimathea is here and Nicodemus is here. He said, what do they want? Joseph of Arimathea is like the second richest man in town.
That's right.
Nicodemus ain't far behind, and they're Pharisees. But see, they had a secret following for Jesus. And they come to Pilate and they say, Pilate, the scripture says, cursed if every man that dies upon the tree. You know what they was going to do with Jesus' body? They was either going to take and throw it over the dump that they called Gehenna and burn the body and burn the tree. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus said, we got to get to him quick because we don't want him to hang there and we don't want his body to be desecrated. We don't want his body to be thrown over the garbage dump and burned. So the richest man in town goes and knocks on the door. And Pilate says, oh, Lord. He says, hey, we want the body of Jesus. The Bible said that Joseph of Arimathea besought Pilate. That means he begged Pilate for the body of Jesus. So not only, Cameron, can Pilate wash his hands of what's been written, and Pilate can't wash his hands of the death of Jesus. Pilate can't wash his hands of the burial of Jesus. Pilate said, go ahead, boys. Take his body. I don't know why you'd want that body for. And Joseph of Arimathea said, listen, even though Peter is going to leave him hanging, and even though Thomas is going to leave him hanging, and even though Zacchaeus is going to leave him hanging, even though the widow of Nain is going to leave him hanging, even though blind Bartimaeus is going to leave him hanging, Joseph of Arimathea says this, I can't leave my Lord hanging. How many times you left the Lord hanging out there, brother? Hey, listen to me. But Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus said, hey, we're not going to leave him hanging out there. And Pilate couldn't get away from the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. So they go out there, brother, and they get the body of Jesus and they bring it down off that tree, brother, and they wrap him in linens. And just like the world does, they get the incenses, brother, and they get perfume and they try to spice up the body of Jesus. That's just what the world does now. They try to make death smell good. They try to make death look different. But death is what it is. And it's appointed unto man wants to die. And after that, the judgment, brother. And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus said, hey, he's been good to us, brother. He's loved us, though we ain't loved him like we ought to love him. And I can't leave him hanging. I got to go get his body.
Amen.
And Pilate can't get away from the burial of Jesus Christ. He can't wash his hands of that. And let me tell you something, dear people. You'll never be able to wash your hands from what is written about Jesus. You'll never be able to wash your hands about the death of Jesus. You say, I don't believe that. It don't make a difference what you believe.
Right.
It don't make a difference. Voltaire said he didn't believe it either. The old French philosopher Voltaire said he didn't believe it either. He said, as a matter of fact, 50 years after my death, go look it up, check me out. He said, 50 years after my death, they'll quit printing the King James Bible. There'll not be any Bibles more. And just like in fashion of God, Voltaire died 50 years after his death. Guess what his old house was? His old house had been turned into a publishing place. And they was cranking out King James Bibles and sending them out everywhere. Brother, let me show you something. Be not deceived. God is not mocked now. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Pilate couldn't get away from the death of Jesus Christ. And Pilate couldn't get away from what was written about Jesus Christ. And Pilate couldn't get away from the burial of Jesus Christ. So Glenn, no doubt he's thinking, that's it, I'm done. I ain't got to worry about this no more. No, Cameron. He went to bed that night, and I don't believe he slept too good. Early in the morning. What? Jews. Jews. Yeah, it's about Jesus. I've dealt with this. No, they got something else to ask you. He goes to the door. There's the Jews. Pilate, we need to ask you a favor. What? It's about Jesus. He died. I let Joseph, Arimathea, and Nicodemus take. I know, Pilate, but see what it was, Pilate. But they was such a ruckus about him that he said he was going to get up from the dead. And we don't believe that, Pilate. That's just a bunch of nonsense. But just in, you know, just in case.
Yes, watch.
If it's all right with you, can you give us some guards?
What?
Pilate would have been like, well, that's a steal rate. Nobody raised from the dead. But, you know, he might. Guards, yeah, just in case they come and steal his body away.
Right.
Pilate said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you some guards and I'll do better than that.
I'll
put my seal on it.
Yeah.
Wax seal. Seal that thing. That means if you touch that stone anyway, it was a death sentence. Yeah. If you moved that stone and broke that seal, it was a death sentence. So Pilate sends the guards out there to seal up Jesus and to guard the tomb. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Pilate could not get away from what was written about Jesus. Pilate could not get away from dealing with the death of Jesus. Pilate could not get away. Listen to me. You're getting this now. Pilate could not get away from the burial of Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Jesus died and was buried according to the Scriptures. That he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen. Pilate couldn't get away from the burial of Jesus. And no doubt Pilate laid down there and the night went past and turned the next day. And Pilate's saying, I'm done with Jesus. But Pilate couldn't get away from the resurrection of Jesus. No matter where Pilate went throughout his life, he had to deal with what was written about Jesus. He had to deal with the death of Jesus. He had to deal with the burial of Jesus. And he had to deal with the resurrection of Jesus. And Pilate set a seal on there. And he put his soldiers upon the tomb. And he said, boys, stand guard on the watch. Why? For a bunch of little fishermen. They wasn't even so scared. They wasn't even there. They just people around the cross. Three Marys, a Salome, and little old John. You want a guard for that? Put a guard on there and a seal on that. Brother, let me tell you something. That night, the roll of the stone was rolled away and Christ come out of that tomb. Brother, let me tell you something. He didn't need to roll the stone away. He could blow that stone out of there. That tomb wasn't open so he could get out. That tomb was open so we could see in of what Jesus has done. And no matter what Pilate did his life, or wherever he went, Brother Tyler, he couldn't escape the very fact, listen, that Jesus Christ died and was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And if Jesus had not risen from the dead, what we're doing in here is in vain. I'm getting a sore throat in vain. I'm sweating in vain. You're here in vain. But something in you saying, I believe that's right. I believe that's true. What is that telling you that? That's God Almighty working down in your soul and telling you, listen, that what this old preacher's telling you is right and true. And listen to me, you'll never be able to escape that. No matter how much learning you get, no matter how much you try to get into, you can't run away from what is written about Jesus, the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Good message.
Can't wash your hands from it. Can't run from it. It's there. And it'll always be there. And you'll deal with it. You say, I ain't deal with it. I won't come back. Don't make no difference.
Yep. You're dealing with it right now.
You're dealing with it right now. Let's stand this.